Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium. And everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
This is why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my
new
friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again! Say what again! I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
You get our son!
Happy birthday, Polly.
Oh, no, I got me some. Well, I'm the Joker, baby!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 296. Jeff Lowe, Ken, Jack, Trill, Ballins. It's happy October. First time we're recording in October.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be reviewing The Ring today from 2002. It's not on a streaming platform. I'm sorry. It's The Ring, though. It's The Ring.
You know it.
It's not like we were like, we're reviewing the stage production of The Ring from some local high school. It's The Ring.
That would rock, though. That would be kind of cool. Yeah. A musical version of The Ring.
Oh, people would only care about the TV scene. Like, if they didn't execute the TV scene.
Nah, I'm all about the horse scene on the on the barge or whatever.
Yeah, the horse scene is fucked up.
Sorry, the ferry.
We'll talk about the movie, and then we're going to do top five worst people to crawl out of your TV. Which I'm excited for this list. Mm-hmm. We'll make it a draft, but I don't think we're going to have the same picks.
Maybe.
But we'll make it a draft just to make it fun. Other than that, we'll state the obvious. Once again, we did not hit the triple for the second. The Browns have given two opportunities in a row. Three, actually.
It is usually on your end.
Yeah, it's usually the Browns, but no. And then next week, it's a guaranteed that all three of our teams can't win because the Browns play the Colts. But once again, our teams do not go 3-0 on a weekend.
I put the blame entirely on the feet of Anthony Lynn and Gus Bradley, who just don't seem to ever have an answer for Tom Brady. They can't figure him out. He's 43 years old.
You guys want to hear a little bit about my fantasy team?
Hell yeah. What's your name again? What's your name?
My team's name?
Yeah.
It's Taste the Dwayne Bow right now.
Okay. Taste the Dwayne Bow.
Yeah, remember you saying I wanted like a 2013 fantasy team name for my team this year, so I brought back Taste the Dwayne Bow.
Dwayne Bow, that's a name I haven't thought. Him and Roddy White, I would always like put in the same category. I don't know why, just like mid-tier. Mid-low 2000s two receivers, or 2010s receivers.
We talked about David Wilson a few weeks ago on the podcast, the Giants running back, I think former Virginia Tech running back.
Yeah, that everyone thought would be the guy.
Everyone thought was going to be the guy, and he's like one of those fantasy guys that I kept drafting because I was like convinced that this season it was going to be his breakout season. Dwayne Bow was also that guy as well.
Yeah, true.
I kept buying into Dwayne Bow because on paper – He was so talented, and it just never panned out. He had old Alex Smith tossing, 7-yard passes to him in KC. So
him and what do you call it? CJ Spiller, I believed in a lot every year. Every year I thought CJ Spiller, he was going to have the year because he was so athletic. And then every year it just never happened. Just never worked out for him.
I do feel like 2013 may have been the peak of fantasy.
For me, yeah, for sure.
No, I just feel like in general, like fantasy's part of, like, I think part of the reason people give a little bit shit less about fantasy, and now it's more about daily fantasy and that sort of degeneracy that allows, you know, it allows you to have more fun and bet money and more stakes are on the line. I think that took away some of the thunder from regular
fans. I mean, mobile sports books absolutely
destroyed
that. Like, I mean, I personally, like, I still play fantasy, and this is not just a Barstool thing, because we have the Barstool sports book. Great fun. I guess bias included, because I have to have it. But if I put bias aside, it's a fucking excellent sports book. So if you're in Pennsylvania and you bet, you're very lucky. But I personally enjoy so much more betting, like, just games than playing fantasy. But, like, I know it's not the case for everybody, but that's definitely taken a major bite out of it.
What fantasy you put – say you're like 23 years old and $100, you know, it's $100, still $100. You put that in, you got to wait, you know, 4 months for the 7% chance that you're going to cash out, like, yes, with like $1,200 or $1,100 profit. Whereas, like, the dream with sports gambling is that you're going to make that in a night. And I can definitely see how you would divert your attention one to the other. But I kind of feel like 2013, before all that online daily fantasy stuff, into gaming took over. That was it, man. Like, the fantasy was huge. It had an entire freaking TV show about it for a while.
Mm-hmm. Taco, remember him?
Yeah, you remember Batman Chalupa? That's a
good... What was the name of the trophy? It was named after, like, the girl they were obsessed with or something.
Yeah,
the Sacco.
No, that was the last place trophy.
Fuck, what was it?
It was, I don't want to say it because incorrectly, but it was the shit. It's the girl who plays Versio in Battlefront 2 campaign. She was a doctor, but it was a girl that they knew and liked. I forget what it's called.
The Shiva,
yeah.
Shiva?
Yeah, the Shiva.
That was the trophy.
Yeah, because didn't they name it after her when she was, like, homely in high school or something? And then she ended up being a beautiful grown adult woman.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, yes. Yeah. And then Mark Duplass wanted to date her or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and then Kevin MacArthur.
No, 9/11 Kevin, we call him.
You know, he just got into a whole bunch of hijinks.
I had, like, an opening to make it very funny.
Ruxin?
No, I was going to be like him and Josh Cribbs and Brian Arakpo and Jerome Harrison walked around and tried to figure out what to do next.
Oh, shit. It's Dexter McCluster.
yeah.
Dexter McCluster.
Oh, my God.
He was definitely on an episode, wasn't he?
Dexter, should I play you in the flex slot this week? Funny show, and I loved it at the time. I'm not saying this because I hate it. It's just one of those shows that absolutely – it'd be hard to find a show that aged worse in the league solely due to the references of players. Like, you can't show that to someone in 5 or 10 years and be like, funny, right? And be like, who the fuck are half these people?
Hey, look, it's Chicago Bears running back Matt Forte. Should I play you today? And he's like, you suck, Ruxin. And everyone laughs.
Oh, look,
it's a beautiful formula.
Jacksonville Jaguars running back Rashad Jennings.
Oh, man, yeah, that's a pull. He was on the Giants pretty recently, though, wasn't he?
Do you see who's eating dinner over there? It's Marion Barber III.
Wow. Oh, that's a pull.
There's also another show that, I've decided we're not going to talk about it. We're going to do something different instead.
We all watched it, though.
We all did for the first time ever watch SNL at the same time, at least coordinated. I dropped it at 11:30. I realized what time it was. I dropped a little message in there. I said, Trill, are you going to do it? We're watching SNL. Ken Jack joined this time.
Very rare.
We're not going to discuss it. I'll throw my 2 cents in there.
Why not?
Because I want to talk, because it's the same conversation we have all the time.
Every time.
It's just not
every
funny. Time. Yeah. If you find it funny, fuck yeah. Power to you. I'm glad you can laugh at that. Like, there's a lot of shit I laugh at that I'm sure is not funny to many people. But that was, like, I Post-debate cold opens were fucking appointment viewing. I mean, the lockbox, Al Gore and George Bush, that's like, that's an all-time SNL. Like, all of them, dating back to Carvey, just, oh, that was the worst fucking post-debate cold open I've ever seen. It was so bad.
The Biden, so bad. Harry Styles bit almost made me tap out immediately.
It's just,
like, well, that's not a joke. It's just a fucking reference. Like, it's not a joke.
The crazy thing is I thought Jim Carrey did a good job.
Yeah, I did too.
In general, but there was some stuff like the finger guns and the jumping around. Like, Joe Biden famously does not do that right now.
Yes.
That is like, that is not the candidate that you see. I don't get it.
All they did, they played up, they wanted the moment where Biden told Trump, will you shut up, man? They fucking waited for it. They got the crowd to react and cheer. And you're like, that's what we're going for here.
Well, it was that. And then dropping a WAP reference.
Yes. Woman as president. Very clever, guys. You earned your fucking $200,000 writer room salary.
I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I think. I think that writer room is talented, but I do think there's a very specific market that they're going for. And that's the people who are going to share the clips online the same way. It's the same audience that shares the Jimmy Fallon clips. And
yeah, you are right.
I forget the name. Who's that? Like woman who does like the lip syncing? Like, I mean, Sarah Cooper, it's like, you know, she has an audience, but I think it's like, it's people who are like 50 and older and they think that stuff's funny and that just suits them. That's their specific brand of humor. And more power to them. I under the age of 50, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like it's tailored to younger people. It seems like it's being very specifically tailored to older folks. And that's okay because I think that's what they're going for. But I feel you got to feel like maybe it's time we think about like maybe the writer's room is just like, hey, let's do something funny. And then Lorne Michaels is in there like, I don't think so. maybe not. Let's just, I don't know about that. Let's maybe, could you maybe come out wearing the aviators, Jim? Yeah.
I just watched that clip, by the way, of Dana Carvey explaining the Lorne Michaels.
Well, then did you see the one where Dana Carvey was like complaining that Mike Myers basically based the entire Dr. Evil character off of Lorne Michaels?
Yeah, based off of Dana Carvey's Lorne Michaels impression. Yeah,
that's how they got into their beef.
Yeah, I always it's a funny reminder. Yeah,
it's weird though because like, I feel like they used to have something for everybody in SNL. Like I always think like everyone obviously always thinks of the SNL of their childhood or whatever, but like I feel like in that time period, like whatever for me it would be like 2005 to like 2013-14 when I was watching SNL a lot, and like I always feel like when I would watch that there would be skits that were geared towards like an, I think an older audience and were great for them, but there was also skits that appealed towards a sense of humor that was more towards me and my friends, and now it just feels like every single joke is tailored for the same exact person, which is like, I don't know, like a coastal gut person, like probably liberal minded that is over the age of, like you said, 50. And like, it's just, there's no jokes. There's no humor. There's no nothing. Nothing has a delivery. They just refer to things. They refer to things that happens. And like, yeah, it's a pop culture show. You're supposed to like refer to the world around you, but like they stop at just making the reference. There's no joke involved in anything. And it's so frustrating to me as someone who loved SNL growing up.
Yeah, our audience
is always like, this is the dead horse that we have to beat.
Yes, I'm sorry, well, that's why I said we weren't going to talk about it, but we did. So we're going to, I'm forcing us to stop, and we're going to talk about something positive related to SNL. Though I do want to read Walt Hickey, friend of the pod, great fucking numbers guy, a lot of help with us with the Oscars and stuff. He had the tweet that summed it up. Because you saw it during the debate. They're like, oh, SNL is going to be crazy. And he said to people who are like, SNL is going to be wild this weekend. Have you watched SNL lately? This is going to open with a 20-minute play act where a car wash and mediocre impressions interact briefly with the hottest performers of 1993, which is just that's it. But again, we're beating a dead fucking horse. So shame on us.
It's the same thing with the South Park, though. It's funny you say that because South Park had a pandemic special, which I've actually heard was pretty good. Because one of the disappointing things about South Park is I don't think they've been able – I think they whiffed really badly on providing a unique and, like, you know, kind of that South Park edge of humor ever since 2016. And I kind of feel like the show's, like, had its moments every now and then. but they haven't really been able to like capture the times. And it's a 20-year-old show, so that's totally understandable. But they had a pandemic special or whatever it was. People say it's good. I still need to watch it. But it's what they always say, like, when an event happens. It's like, can't wait to get South Park's take on it this week. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I enjoy South Park, but I'm like, what do you think? You think they're going to, like, okay, so their take on it is going to be that one side's bad and the other side is bad, and maybe the correct view is to be in the middle. That's their take on it.
Yes.
Just they have crude mm-hmm. humor around it. And it's funny. I have an enormous amount of respect for the South Park boys to men. I've grown up in front of my eyes, but it's like when you say that, I can't wait for this show. You know what you're going to get. It's a known quantity.
Something irreverent. Yeah.
But I do want to mention Kyle Mooney. Fucking love Kyle Mooney. Mm-hmm. Good neighbor stuff.
Wasted forever. On that show.
Can we give, I want to do positivity here. That's enough. Can we give a favorite Good Neighbor Stuff video, favorite Kyle Mooney video from YouTube?
I've never watched any of them.
The sports what? One.
You have not seen any of them?
What was really. The title of the sports one? Fuck. The sports one is easily, I think, the one that made me laugh the most. The one where he's just like explaining, fuck, what's the title? Oh, I'm looking up.
Oh, I thought you meant like one of the interview ones. You mean
not the Astros? What was it? The Astros game you went to? That no.
Sporty.
No,
yeah. The there's the Giants one. Giants Dodgers.
Sporty.
Lakers.
Sporty. Yeah.
Sporty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you haven't seen them drill. What Best Kids Awards is still, I think, sneaky my favorite one because it's like it's the perfect stupid humor, and very dry. But like them going through this, like the kid, it's a perfectly remade version of like the Kids Choice Awards or Nickel. Yeah, whatever. And then they're like, it's like. Presenters like Brian, Mike, Royce the 5'9", and they just run through it all, and it's just the perfect, really dumb, dry humor. I love that fucking channel, and I love Kyle Mooney, and he just continues to be cut for time, probably. I just assume that's what happens. But I'm surprised you haven't seen the Kyle Mooney videos, Trill.
Yeah, it seems up your alley.
Nah, I haven't.
But you would like to, that the one where he interviews the Giants players, and they're just like, what the fuck are you doing here?
You know who that is?
He's just holding the big stick mic. Yeah.
You know who that is? That's Twitter legend Aubrey Huff.
Oh, was it really? That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, if you've never seen
Good Neighbor
Stuff.
Hey, all you e-gamers, you know you're a fucking cook, right?
First one okay, I ever Aubrey saw Huff. was movies where he goes to the movie convention. If you've never seen the Kyle Mooney videos on YouTube, they're a must. I mean, if you don't like awkward things, it might be tough to get through, but they are very funny. So.
We're getting that new Nathan Fielder show soon on HBO. I think it was two with John something. I forget the last name. But that looks like very same sort of lane of humor I think both those guys are in.
I did. I rewatched a bunch of them recently. I think they're on I think Nathan for You is going to HBO Max.
It's on Hulu right now. But I wouldn't be that surprised if it eventually switched over to HBO
Dumb
Max.
Starbucks is still probably right up there. So, but him reaching across the table at the lawyer's desk for the piece of paper is...
Hate me? You're trying to hear to me. I know you are. That is Summit Ice. Summit Ice is one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen. Girl, I can't. Chill, you never watched that either, right?
What, Nathan for You?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've watched it.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought you haven't.
All right. Let's do an ad read. Let's get into it. That's episode brought to you in part. We all won today. Brought to you in part by Roman. That's right. Most guys try different ways to last longer. But thinking about SNL cold open doesn't always work. Folks at Roman, an online men's health company, changing the game. Excuse me, I just fucking burped. Very unprofessional. The secret to longer-lasting sex. Roman swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast-acting, but don't require a prescription. Roman can ship the swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging. You need swipes packed in a small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. Super easy to use. Just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry. Good to go. That is it. Go to GetRoman.com/lights. Get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/lights. Also, as always, go to MovieRankings.net. We're in a bit of a holding pattern. I will not go into it. Good stuff, though, for MovieRankings.net. We will have user profiles hopefully soon. It's not that we don't have them ready. We're just trust me on that. That's just trust me on this one. Trust the process here. Also, fans of the Disney Plus show related to the space opera, I won't say names to implicate ourselves so we don't get them immediately taken down before they go up. We have some pretty nifty-looking hoodies coming out for the premiere of that show that premieres at the end of October.
Very first time I think it's ever been a design of my own that finally made it to our fucking shop.
Looks fucking and, awesome.
It looks good. I like it so much. We're going to
have three of them. Three hoodies for that space opera spinoff show with the little green alien.
Mm-hmm.
We will release them. I think they're really fucking cool. Fans of the show. Look, you got to wake up in the morning, watch it at 6 a.m. You got to put on a nice warm hoodie.
I'm going to say the show. It's the fucking Jetsons.
What if we just dropped three George Jet, like one Rosie? Just
Gazoo. You're
the Rosie the Robot shirt. Anyone want it?
Gazoo's half the best, off. Man. That's a little green alien.
keep an eye out for that. You'll know. We're going to blast it everywhere.
Judy Jetson, what a dame.
First bit of news, full trailer for Borat released. Borat, subsequent movie film delivery of prodigious bribe to American regime for making benefit once glorious nation of Kazakhstan, a.k.a. Borat 2.
Yeah, can we just call it Borat 2? Can we just say we're going to call it Borat 2?
We're officially, from now on, it is Borat 2 in this pod's history. We will be reviewing it. It'll be on Amazon Prime October 23rd. That's fucking exciting. Told you the other day, I old movies have broken me officially. I think Hubie Halloween we're reviewing this week.
Oh, yeah, that comes out the 7th.
That's like a breath of fresh air. That's a cold.
It's a Halloween.
Yeah, I think so. We record Wednesday night. We'll find a way to watch Hubie Halloween on Wednesday, and then we'll record. But we will do Hubie Halloween. If for some reason it doesn't come out Wednesday, we'll do it Sunday. But Hubie Halloween will be soon, which is the first time we've really done a Sandler movie, right? Besides Uncut Gems, like a Sandler. No, we did Murder Mystery. We'll do Sandler rankings. We'll do all that good shit. We haven't done that. But anyway, What do you think about the first trailer for the second Borat movie?
I don't know. Like, what do you guys think? I mean, this is some. I don't like leading off on this because I honestly don't. It's disappointing to say, but I don't really have an opinion on it.
I don't think that's crazy to say, right? Because I don't think they showed you a ton I would hope that they wouldn't. Because like the one great thing I think about Borat and about most of Sacha Baron Cohen's stuff is like you kind of go into it with an air of mystery, right? Like you know you're going to see something crazy. Yeah. It doesn't always work out. Like I think Bruno wasn't very good. I kind of like the parts of The Dictator, but like you don't know what you're going to get, which is part of the greatness of it. I think the trailer showed you a little bit more beyond the teaser they gave us, which is obviously very politically leaned. And this is now, I think, a little bit more, not down the middle, but a little more like showing you the breadth of what it's covering. And so, I don't know, I'm excited. I think Sacha Baron Cohen somewhat knows what he's doing. I think the bit is funnier now that, like, I think it's a little bit self-aware when you show him running around with people chasing him saying, hey, you're Borat, come say hi to me. I think I want to see what he does with that.
That was my takeaway from the trailer is that they're dancing around the fact that a lot of people know who Borat is, right? And therefore the candid camera type shit or whatever you would want to call it, undercover type stuff. They're getting rid of the elephant in the room right off the bat. They're just saying, oh, people, too many people know who I am. I'm gonna have to go in disguise. And that was the big takeaway for me. But it's kind of disappointing because, like, look, you're never gonna recapture the magic of the first one. But the magic of the first one was that you had this complete idiot of a man, Sacha Baron Cohen's character in Borat, like, which is what he does, like Ali G. And Borat and Bruno, he plays people that, he's just pretending to be so stupid that he's just goading responses out of other people. And it's kind of the same thing, but it's almost like when it's not like one consistent character, it's almost not as funny to me. Now you're just doing what he does on the HBO show, like This Is America or whatever. I think that's okay, but like there are some things on that show I thought were exceptionally hilarious, like the city council meeting, but then there are other shows, there are other ones that, like the Dick Cheney thing, as much like that was built up, that he didn't get much out of him, right? So I'm sure it'll be fine, but I don't know. I don't have high hopes for this one.
For a living? Have you been seeing the ads for that? Stephen Colbert is going to be live after the debates with Mayor Pete?
No, I haven't seen the ads for that.
Can't wait.
When is it? Is there a debate? When's the next debate?
I don't know, dude. The president has Corona, like how do you even schedule that?
I think Kendrick, you said it, like without the mystery there, without, you know, like kind of knowing what to expect, but I'll obviously give it a little benefit of the doubt just because it is Sacha Baron Cohen, but I can't say I'm excited for the movie in terms of like they started to talk about it and review it and talk about Borat, because we'll definitely talk about Borat. We haven't really gone into Borat, but we'll just probably do make it a Sacha Baron Cohen episode. But I can't say I'm overly thrilled. Also, I mean, politically speaking, a little exhausted.
Like, yes.
And I'm not one to say that often, like, oh, God, got to turn this off, you know? It's like people were so quick during the debate, like, to make sure people knew they were turning it off. And they probably weren't. But, like, for once, I was kind of like, you know, I don't know how much political content I want to consume. So we'll see. But, again, I trust Sacha Baron Cohen. So give it a chance here. We'll review it when it comes out. To be on Amazon Prime October 23rd. Every other week, there's more news about movie theaters, and this is a fairly negative one. Regal, set to close all theaters. No Time to Die, James Bond, not going to be hitting theaters this year. It will be hitting theaters next year now, Easter weekend. Cineworld is also going to be closing. Cineworld owns a ton of theaters. They're going to be closing theaters around the world. So it's... Yeah, there's just not a reason to really be open right now, because they need something that's going to be big. And this is obviously the delay of Bond, No Time to Die, is enough to just shut the doors for a while. It's a bummer. It sucks because you especially in New York, like a lot of indoor dining opening, you know, street dining's going well. Like there are things that are slowly getting back to normal, could change in a fucking heartbeat, obviously. But theaters just still haven't found a way to pick it up. And I think as three big movie fans, it's no other way to describe it than just disappointing news. It's a bummer, but I do get it. But it's a pretty big fucking bummer.
Mm-hmm. There is no reason to really stay open. You get no Time to Die, but you also get F9 got pushed back further into 2021. Everything else is getting pushed back further into 2021. There's no reason to just continue getting all that accumulating more sunk costs, right? If you're a theater, just to add on to the already, I'm assuming, almost irreparable damage that's already been caused to their financial situation. So there is really no point. So it sucks, but it is just kind of the reality of the situation, and I guess a good way for them to save money.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the other chains will follow suit. It seems like the only thing that really makes sense, honestly.
Like they have to, right? Like,
yeah,
they open for? They open for Greenland, the Gerard Butler disaster movie. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah!
No, I mean you did that. They've been showing like what they've been. There's got to be, you know, there is a certain point where I think you open it up and you see what happens, and then you reevaluate. And I think what they were trying to do is like I think it was kind of like a game of chicken almost to say like, okay, we're going to open back up because we can. And we're going to be as safe as we can. And I get that. And people can weigh.
I think that was actually kind of a good point, Matt, that it's just kind of for them playing chicken, right? Because it, like all the theaters, it's like the fucking classic Office meme. Throw all the finger guns at every single movie chain, just waiting to see who blinks first. And I guess it was, in a sense,
well,
I guess Regal and Cineworld.
I don't know if it was the movie chains. I think it was more so... I think it was more so the theater saying, okay, we're open. Like you guys can release your movies now. And the theater's looking at the numbers and the returns. Oh, and from some of the, you know, like we said, like Tenet was probably a trial balloon, and seeing what they got from Tenet and saying, Black Widow, we're not going to do it right now. We've invested so much money in Bond. We're not going to do it right now. And that's the game of chicken in terms of the theaters that have done all they can to, you know, be safe, and people are taking the proper precautions, but the volume's not there for the production companies to get them out in the theaters, and therefore, despite everyone's best efforts, there's nothing to do.
Yeah, I don't know anymore what it's gonna like. I do know. I don't think there's anything that can be done at this point other than things just being back to normal. Right? These big companies aren't gonna release. They're not gonna release the Black Widows online. They're not going to release the Bonds online. It's going to have to essentially be a perfect situation. Like New York, again, things are opening up, but theaters are not even fucking close. Mm-hmm. So at this point, it's like, it's kind of funny because it's not funny, but you go back and you think about when things, like plans were in place to start opening things up. You're like, oh, how long till movies? Will you go back? But now it wouldn't even take a little bit here, a little bit there. Like for the entire country to open and stay open, it clearly needs to be perfect, which it's a bummer. It is definitely a bummer. I want to go to the movies, but there's enough online for now. We'll keep reviewing the new stuff, but I want to see the big shit. Tenet definitely wet the beak, cleanse the palate, but that's not enough. Tenet was also, I saw some people talking about Tenet, and Tenet was definitely like, it was a big movie. I think it was good, but I also know it's not great for everyone. I know word of mouth wasn't exactly ideal. You know, it wasn't like people walked around saying Tenet is a must. Tenet is next level. Tenet will blow you. Like, Tenet's the greatest movie ever made. Had it been that, maybe we're in a different spot. But even if you like Tenet, like myself, like, you have to admit that it's a very easy movie to dislike or not get or not really suggest to people. It might be, you know, Nolan in his bag doing his thing. It didn't translate to, I think, what they needed the box office success to be, unfortunately. But that's just the timing of it. Maybe Black Widow might. I don't know. Like, maybe something else could have been, but it seems as though that's just not going to happen. And then last thing before, I don't know, a couple quick hitters. Don't have another ad read, so just keep on rolling. Jamie Foxx. This was fucking shocking.
Yes.
This was very surprising. Jamie Foxx is going to return to Spider-Man as Electro. He played Electro in Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, with Andrew Garfield. He will return. He posted a couple things on social media. However, they all got taken down. The Hat Man, Amy Pascal from Sony were probably like, shut the fuck up. Jamie Foxx, stop posting shit. He basically implied that there is going to be a Spider-Verse, a live-action Spider-Verse. And he also said he's not going to have the blue look that he did in Amazing Spider-Man 2. So there's two things here, and we don't have an answer to the second thing, so it's kind of relevant. First thing, happy that he's back as Electro. And second thing, what does this mean? Does this mean he's back as the Spider-Man 2 Electro, or are they just going to let him kind of redo the character? Is this like a Ryan Reynolds Deadpool thing where he returns to the character in a different way? Is it from a different dimension? People were already talking about Wanda. Like, is WandaVision going to fuck up the realities and the dimensions? They kind of alluded to it in Spider-Man Far From Home. This, I'll tell you what, of a lot of the news and rumors of Marvel, this thing is like opened as many questions as anything we've had in quite a while. But I like it. I didn't like that character in my Amazing Spider-Man 2, but I'd sure like Jamie Foxx.
It's kind of like it's weird because like I think the Deadpool comparison is obviously the easiest one, but like with Reynolds, he's always been so passionate about playing Deadpool. I didn't know that Jamie Foxx was this passionate about playing Electro. And I think that there's a lot of problems with the Amazing Spider-Man 2, and one of them being that they just introduced too many villains at once, and Paul Giamatti as Rhino was just fucking wild choice. But I don't think necessarily in Jamie Foxx's performance as so much just like his character, like the way they wrote his character, which is fucking weird. But I think that like he is a multi-hyphenate fucking like masterclass genius creative person, and I think if he wants to come back into this character, I'm assuming he's going to do it in a different way, because it obviously wasn't very well received in Amazing Spider-Man. So I'm excited for him to get another chance, but what is it going to mean, right? Like, obviously, everyone would love to see live-action Spider-Verse. You'd see, like, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield back in the fray as Spider-Man. I think, at very least, Garfield, I know, was very passionate about Spider-Man. Tobey Maguire, I feel like he's a general malaise about everything in the world, but I'm sure he would not mind coming back to do it. And I think, like, shit like that would be really cool. Be cool for us.
So, Trey, I'll let you take this. I think the other big question is, like, live-action Spider-Verse, like, does that, like, seeing Tobey Maguire, seeing Andrew Garfield, it works in animation, but, like, would that, it sounds fucking cool, but does that work in live action?
On paper, it's a gimmick. And that's my problem with it, is, I mean, maybe it would work. It just depends, right? It depends on execution, as with everything. But just on its face, in terms of bringing Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire back, like, that's a gimmick to me. And I don't think Jamie Foxx is a gimmick. I think that's more of a, we're running out of A-listers to play characters in our movies, or we need more big A-listers to play characters in our movies. So let's just like re-tap somebody who's done it already, but may have not been satisfied with the way the quality of the movie was, or their character was handled. And I don't think they're beholden to anything. I think they can go any direction they want. He can play the same Electro. He can play a different Electro. They're just at a point where they write the rules now, and they can do whatever they want, and we'd be fine with it because we're little greedy pigs.
It's true. I want that slub, multiverse slub.
Just don't be fucking blue, man. The blue was bad. Yeah.
That was a bad move.
He looked like it looked like the Halloween mask version of him as the real character.
It's just
that was the worst part.
Yeah, doing that character the way they did it. Like, I don't think we have the technology yet to make that work. Like, just like the way his skin, like, it just didn't, we're just not there yet. Which is funny to say in like 2017, 16 when it came out, but we weren't quite there yet.
Dr. Manhattan looked better than he did.
That is true.
It was like, what, 2009 Watchmen?
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
His character's origin story was so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh, the nerdy janitor nobody likes now has power. Okay, let's see how he handles that. So hopefully that gets a little bit better treatment if they decide to redo it. But ultimately, I don't really, you know, it's Jamie Foxx. I don't care. He's entertaining.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Extremely talented human.
Yeah, will it work? I don't know. But fucking Spider-Man's got me pumped now. The Sinister Six. Who could potentially be Norman Osborn? Like, there's so many. Like, that's the crazy thing. It's like we focus so much on like the MCU and like where we're gonna go with the big, like, Spider-Man is the amount of fleshed out with the Tom Holland Spider-Man universe is so tiny. It's so small, and there's so much more they can expand on. That, like, I have to stop and remind myself. Like, that's the exciting thing at the MCU. It's like where the Spider-Verse can go. Because that can really dictate how long this Marvel thing go and how interesting it continue to be. Because that's the other thing is, look, I fucking love these movies, but let's go. I like my slop, but I want my slop to be a different flavor now. Like, give me like a different set of slop. The Thanos slop was great.
Oatmeal raisin slop.
Yeah, give me a little different slop. And then two quicker things. The Witches. The Witches obviously was already a movie. In 1999, starring Angelica Houston, Rowan Atkinson as well. Have to always get props.
Mr. Bean, a.k.a. the guy who's going to play Hitler in Peaky Blinders Season 5.
Yes, holy shit. Yeah, I saw him.
How did Hitler get into Peaky Blinders?
The last season of Peaky Blinders was all about like British, like the British Fascist Party. So that's like where they're going to loop into.
Okay.
But Mr. Bean playing Hitler is incredible.
Yes, it is. It very much is.
I'd like to see how South Park handles that one.
SNL's going to be wild that weekend.
Imagine that's what they did. They made like the South Park made their own 90s episode, except it was Hitler. Like 1939, September, whatever. We're going to see what South Park would have been like.
Nothing's better than Bumblebee back in time fighting Hitler.
Oh, my God. Right.
The French
that was just fucking
Transformer.
Oh, King Arthur with King Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Stanley Michael Tucci, like, how do I connect with the kids on this one?
Tucci Man's getting a lot of work lately. He's in three movies coming out.
He's in the Witches, right?
Yeah, he is.
He's in that. He's in another movie with Hugh Grant. No, not Hugh Grant. What's it? Colin Firth. Like a romance movie and another one. Shoot, I don't remember it, but he's getting work. Love that for the Tooch man.
I'm happy because he was on the poster of The Witches and he was like literally, you know, top three build behind Anne Hathaway and Octavia Spencer. Who would have thought? Stanley Tucci, Mr. Movie Poster Man.
Are we looking forward to The Witches?
I'm still bummed out by it because of the same reasons of the last Witch movie we talked about in the last episode. And that Witches, they don't have as much venom for me anymore. I don't care about that much. And when I saw the title, the first thing I thought of obviously was Willy Wonka, but then secondary was The Witcher. So I started rewatching The Witcher, which was a great time because I understand more about The Witcher every time I watch it because it was such a confusing show. But I like it more every time I rewatch.
I'm excited for Anne Hathaway. I love Anne Hathaway. And she's America's theater kid aunt. or aunt, depending on where you're from. And I think she's a national treasure. It was underappreciated.
Agreed.
She's
in a bad streak though.
I think where the tide turned on Anne Hathaway is when she hosted the things with James Franco. What was it? The Emmys or was it the Golden Globes? What they host together?
The Oscars.
Oh, it's the fucking Oscars. Yeah. Geez. I think that's when people were like, okay, like we can't let this continue. but I find Anne Hathaway is magnetic in most of her roles. I mean, yes, that Rebel Wilson movie, The Hustle was an all time bad movie, but
Dad Boat, all time bad movie.
I mean, she's been on a bad streak, but she's had some iconic roles. Devil Wears Prada for one, Princess Diaries for two.
Ocean's 8 and also not very good.
Ocean's 8 was okay.
The Intern, man, she had to just okay. The Intern was pleasant.
Intern was good though.
Was she pleasant.
She won the Oscar, and what was it? Rachel Gets Married
for The Intern.
No, what was it? What was the one she won the Oscar for? Was it Rachel Gets Married?
No. Was it?
I don't know.
Let's see, Oscar. Hold on, Oscar. Documentary, no, I don't think that's it. My Life is an Oscar Bridesmaid. I don't know. I'll have to look it up later. But I'm just actually, she was in Dark Waters. Okay, Dark Waters was good too, but that was a much smaller role than hers in The Hustle or Dad Boat or Ocean's 8 for that matter. So I don't know. I guess she's kind of breaking the streak. Maybe this will be good.
Yeah, she won Best Actress for Rachel Getting Married and then Best Supporting Actress for Les Mis. She was a nominee for Rachel Getting Married. My bad. So she only has a supporting actress Oscar?
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember her winning a Oscar for something with Les Mis, but I didn't know if it was like...
I remember her cry on stage. I don't know why, but I remember it.
Yeah.
She's apparently, with all the gossip I've read, she's apparently a big crier, but I respect that. It was like, it's good just to be honest with your emotions. Just let it out.
She's from just outside of New Jersey. She's from Millburn, I think is the name of the city. But I've been there many times. I have a friend who's from there. And they have a great deli called the Millburn Deli.
Well, sounds familiar. They should rename everything in that city to the Anne Hathaway. It should be the Anne Hathaway Deli because she deserves more respect. And the movement starts here.
She does. We will review that. Lastly, I'm fucking amped for this. And I don't know if I'm being like, I'm amped for this in two ways. One sarcastically and the other because I fucking love a good new fresh cinematic universe. Dr. Seuss getting a cinematic universe with a new Cat in the Hat film. Animated. I don't know.
Anime Cat in the Hat? Or like the Cat in the Hat kills God? The giant mech suit?
I don't know what it is, but if you listen to this pod, that shouldn't surprise anybody. I love a good animated a cinematic universe.
Cat, you have to pilot the Eva.
Well, I already thought they had the cinematic universe going. I thought the Lorax came out. To me, I'm 36, so it feels like it came out 2 years ago. I know it was 7. So some of you, people listening probably came out when you were a tween or whatever. But that was a big one. And they had wasn't there like a Horton Hears a Who?
Yeah.
Did they do that one?
I don't know if that's a feature length movie, but I remember there being Hooten Hears a Who. Hooten Hollering.
They did the CGI Grinch with a few years ago.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, with old Benedict Cumberbatch. But yeah, I mean, Cat in the Hat's that's the flagship franchise, right? They're gonna reboot it. You gotta start there. Give that one the old CGI take. Then we'll cycle back to the Lorax again in 5 years, I guess.
I have a take for you. I actually kinda like Cat in the Hat, the mic. I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I haven't rewatched it in a couple of years, but I like that movie.
Who's that fucking kid? The little
the Beans kid. It was Beans.
No, it's not Beans. Aaron Guerin. No,
who was it? It was a different kid.
Yeah. Oh, it was a different kid.
It's the kid. He ends up being in the sequels to the Santa Claus.
I know. I don't.
Spencer. Wait a second.
You think there's a casting agency that
Abigail's Breslin's brother? Get the fuck out of here.
You think there's a casting agency that they're just like, we specialize in finding the weirdest looking kids.
Character actor children. That's our bag, baby.
He was in The Kid with Bruce Willis. He's in a bunch of those movies. Yeah, he was in the sequels to the Santa Claus. I did not know he was Abigail Breslin's sister, though.
I didn't know Sean Hayes was in Cat in the Hat. The fuck?
Yeah, he was the hat.
I always remember liking that movie, though. Was he?
Yeah.
Yes, the voice now. Okay, that makes... Yep. Yep, yep. Zero tolerance boss and germaphobe that... Wait, was he? Yes, he was. Okay. He was. But it's I remember liking that movie. I thought it was kind of fun. And I think, the Seuss first stuff, it's very pleasant. And I think it maybe not necessarily as good lesson stuff for kids, but it's just, it's good mindless shit that kids are, to borrow a word you just used, Trillet, they're like, it's magnetic to them. They love Seuss stuff.
Do you read your daughter, Kat, or Dr. Seuss stuff?
No, I don't read her Dr. Seuss stuff yet. We still read very, very basic books like Blue Truck, which is just like the Blue Truck went over the hill, saw a cow, end of book, 3 pages.
Blue Truck had a great day. Just cow went home.
Yeah. I mean, and she's getting there, but I don't think her, I don't think she understands the concept of narrative yet. And so I see no value in reading The Cat in the Hat. I think when we read books, it's more her. It's about her identifying things that are on the pages. Like, that's a truck. That's a ball. That's a whatever.
And maybe get her a new book. She's complaining about lack of character development in her stories.
She's like, excuse me. I found a plot hole. And everyone poops.
I was on Blue Truck Reddit. Did not make any sense. Don't like the theories.
I was at Target today, right? And I texted you guys. I saw the most absurd thing at Target.
Oh yeah, wait. You texted, and I actually meant to ask what it was, but I forgot to ask. So now I'm excited to find out.
So I was at Target like 8:30 a.m. and there's this crowd of people in the electronics section, and I'm like, dude, is something coming out today? Is like a big Nintendo game coming out? Because I normally know when the big video games are coming out. So like I'm kind of hovering around, right? And I'm keeping a distance, right? Just for safety. And then I hear a guy on the phone calling another Target and asking them what their allocation of the Target exclusive Batman Funko Pops were. Like apparently like it's like Batman Lightning, or it was stuff they were supposed to release at New York Comic Con or one of the Comic Cons, but now they're going through Target. And there's just a lot of people waiting for an exclusive Target Funko Pop at 8:30 in the morning, which I've done more insane things. It just took me by surprise.
Not cooking proteins in your house for one.
Yeah. I mean, we've all got
Fig Newtons in your car.
We've all got our things. And I knew people liked Funko Pops, but I didn't know the Funko community was like this ravenous for their exclusive Funko Pops. Anyway,
is a Batman one, you said?
Yeah, it was like a Batman one, I think. I think there were a few. I tried to look it up, and then I just gave up because I was like, I don't really care. It's their thing. You know what? I've waited at like midnight to get a copy of like Madden 2004 in college before or whatever. Like that's lamer than that, I think. But I was over in the book section. I saw Where's Waldo, and I was just thinking about the nightmare of trying to teach my daughter the concept of Where's Waldo at her age.
Yeah, no, fuck that. That sounds really like a nightmare, to be honest. But I remember I did midnight release in college for, I forget which one came out while I was in college. Maybe it was Black Ops 2, or maybe it was Black Ops. Which one came out in like 2011? Whichever that one, whichever Call of Duty that one was, I remember going to a GameStop and waiting online with my friends in the middle of the Bronx until 12 a.m. and it was not pleasant. It was terrible, actually.
And then you did the Joker dance down the stairs with your copy of Call of Duty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that stairs wasn't that far away from my school.
I remember I got an NCAA football early once, or released at Target, and they came with 2 bags of Cheetos Puffs.
what a fucking coup for that marketing team. Yeah, you wouldn't believe. Hey, Steve, you wouldn't believe the tie-in we got this year. What are we giving out? Giving out a free Segway? No. You buy a Target, you get Cheetos.
Oh. Shit, this is brilliant.
That'd have been someone that you're got that, like that's gonna have a
what year?
Carson Palmer.
It, what year?
Palmer
2002?
No, wouldn't have been Palmer.
What year was this? Do you know?
I don't know. I need to look at. I need to look at the covers, but it's gonna be definitely a blast from the past name.
Well, what year did Palmer get drafted? 2003?
Palmer would have been 2004 because he won the Heisman 02-03.
Yeah.
It was probably I would say it was either the Reggie Bush or when they put Desmond Howard on it. When you did the Road to the Heisman.
Mm.
Remember they would give you the significantly uglier to more attractive girlfriends on your corkboard on your dorm room, the better you were at playing football. That really happened.
Brilliant move.
That really happened. Yeah, NCAA 06.
The funniest thing is like when people talk about like I don't know, like they complain about stuff getting more PC, and that's like an example of like stuff not getting more PC, but stuff just getting less fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that whole concept's stupid.
Because you may as well just play Blitz the League. Now that was a video game.
Blitz the League was quite a time.
It's just the idea someone committed to being like, okay, I got this idea. Your girlfriend gets more attractive. And everyone else in the room, like, okay, that instead of working on the gameplay, that sounds great.
Now this is epic. Who's in charge of girlfriend design? Some guy getting paid a bunch of money at EA Sports.
But even though they got rid of it, they kind of that stupidity ended up making its way into like newer Maddens, where it's like we're not going to work on the gameplay, but like check out this year's version of your agent.
It's a cool story this year, though. It's a cool story, but the game sucks ass. The gameplay is terrible.
It's like, God, well, hey, Jim, I got those mock-ups of the ugly girlfriend for you. Which ones do you like the most?
Yeah, this one is the 500 to 700 rushing yards a season girlfriend. Yeah. As you see, I've reduced the blemishes on the 701 to 999 rushing yards per season girlfriend. She's a lot cuter.
We're on build number 304 for the 600 passing yard girlfriend. It's not looking good.
Wait till you get to the 2000 rushing yard girlfriend. It's basically Elizabeth. What was the girl from American Pie?
Cuthbert. No, Shannon Elizabeth.
Shannon Elizabeth. Yes. We basically licensed Shannon Elizabeth's likeness to be the Heisman level girlfriend for NCAA football 2005.
If you had a movie between 2000 and 2005 and you're like, we need an attractive woman in the C-level comedy, everyone's like, all right, you got to ring Shannon Elizabeth. She was just there.
And now instead of the ugly girlfriend, you get, hey, you want to go play some pickup basketball, you cockeyed fuck?
Oh, my God.
Him hey, Sully, you stupid fuck. Nice job with the plane, you fuck.
Wow, I can't believe we made it all the way here to the Mountain Dew Invitational. it's crazy, Champ General. Champ General is your name.
Yeah.
It's a predefined name. We call you the Champ. You're the Champ General. But your entire performance in this very informal street ball game will dictate your entire NBA draft status.
Yeah. I can't believe you dropped 50 points today, the slugger.
Yeah, the slugger. Killer.
It's like the one thing we can't improve. Like, that's the shit you had in backyard baseball in, like, 1999. Your player was, like the man.
What's up, Dime?
Jimbo.
How are you doing today?
Handles, drives. The shot goes in.
They're all so bad.
What a shot by a superstar.
Another three-pointer for the floor general.
What's annoying, too, is they have my name in the system. Every year, they always have Kennedy. I've never seen a basketball player with the last name Kennedy, but they always have Kennedy and 2K, but they never just allow the announcers to just say the name. They never say it. It's so frustrating. Like, I'm in the database. Just use it. Don't call me fucking Slugger FIFA. Or whatever.
FIFA's the one that drives me insane because FIFA – so many basic names, and they don't have some, like, you make someone named Evan in FIFA, there's no Evan, there's only Evans. I'm like, well, how can we not have Evan? Like, that seems so simple.
There was an NFL player with my last name for a while, and it I think you could select it in the game because of that, and that was some of the best, like, 7 years of my life.
They always have my name in that fucking, what do you call it, Madden as well. I don't know. Is there a single player in the NFL with the last name Kennedy? They've always had it.
Yeah, there's been Kennedys.
Baseball, very popular.
When there was like the New York fucking Knickerbockers or whatever, they what was the Giants before the Giants? There was like the New York Cardinals.
All right. Let's do the ring. Let's do the ring. We did an hour of news. Let's do the ring. Ring came out in 2002, stars mainly Naomi Watts. Also, totally forgot Brian Cox was in this movie. Yes, absolutely forgot that was him. Completely forgot that too.
He looks the same age. Yeah, it's 20-year difference. Yep.
Took a sip of water. Sorry, I'm not going to
turn away from the mic so I can breathe in.
I'm not going to cut that out either. It sounds like just another. Sometimes a synopses are written like poems, mm-hmm. and other times it's like bad thing happens when watch video. It sounds like just another urban legend. A videotape filled with nightmarish images leads to a phone call foretelling the viewer's death in exactly 7 days. Newspaper reporter Rachel Keller, played by Naomi Watts, is skeptical of the story until four teenagers all die mysteriously exactly 1 week after watching just such a tape, allowing her investigative curiosity to get the better of her. Rachel tracks down the video and watches it. Now she has just 7 days to unravel the mystery. Audience gave this on Rotten Tomatoes lower than I thought they did. I have never seen the Rotten Tomatoes score on this movie. 48%. Critics gave it a 71. It's a legendary horror movie. Plain and simple. Obviously, based off of another movie. This is not an original. It is a remake of a Japanese horror film of the same name. But this is rare. I feel like a lot of those don't translate well. I think for the most part, this is just widely accepted as a good horror movie. To the level of which it's good, I don't know. Well, that's what we'll discuss. But I like The Ring. I hadn't watched it in a long time. I actually think I'm going to bump my score up on our database. I had not watched in a while. I feel like I undersold it a little bit. I feel like my rating of it was lower than it should have been. I added a 71. I'm going up to a 77. Going up to a 77. I did a full regrade of the movie. 77 out of 100 for me. I like The Ring a lot. I don't love all the characters in The Ring. But the horror elements in The Ring – I very much enjoy. I think the movie is incredibly well made in that respect. We'll talk about the horror side of it. What was the scariest part? Because this is a movie that when I first saw it definitely horrified me. I will also talk about another movie that gets in the way of my memory of this movie.
Yeah.
Cindy.
Oh, God.
TV's
Watch
leaking.
My brain.
It's very hard for me to separate this movie from Scary Movie 3. It's very hard. Because Scary Movie 3 was so heavily based with The Ring. But I give it on a regrade of 77. Ken Jack, what do you have it at? You going to change your score?
I'm going to leave mine the same. I gave it an 80. I think decades, it's one of my more favorite horror movies. I think one of the best things, and this is Verbinski, right? I think that did Gore Verbinski, right?
One of the more random filmographies you'll ever see.
It's an insane filmography. I just remember when I was looking at the wiki for this, it's like, Gore Verbinski, what the fuck? Like, I don't remember him doing this. But I think one of the great things.
Gore's a badass nickname, by the way.
He was built to be a horror director, right? Your name is Gore.
His name's Gregor.
Yeah, but Gore sounds cooler.
He just shortens to Gore. Yeah, Gore's a badass. I mean, your name's Gore and you directed Rango.
Directed Rango starring Anne Hathaway, but you forgot that, didn't you?
I did. Go on.
I think one of the best things and one of the biggest achievements of The Ring is that the way that they build this movie is that they're able to, I think, kind of create this very believable superstition behind it, like to the point where I still kind of get spooked when she watches the tape, right? Like, I still watch that scene and I'm like, oh fuck, well, if I watch this, I might die. And I'm like looking at it, like trying to turn my eyes away because I don't want to watch the scene. And like, that's something that I think I can't explain the effect behind it, but like the ability for this film to like make me feel physically uneasy and like, and in that manner, I think is a huge, huge achievement. I think the way that this movie, and just in a horror sense, uses build suspense and in many scenes using it without sound, without soundtrack, and like using a lot of silence, which is something we talk about with horror movies. I think every time we review one, when a movie uses silence and it's as powerful as a scene that uses sound, it always impresses me a lot. And I think that that's a huge plus to it. One thing I stood out for me in this movie, and it's not like any really related to its quality at all. Seattle is a city that has a blue hint, a blue aqua tint. They put that hue on any Seattle based movie or Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
And so yes, that's not something I really realized until now. But now, once I saw this movie, especially the ferry scene with the whole trail, is that scene is maybe the creepiest. They put that tint on everything. And also, I think the actual video in The Ring is just like, it's like an entire A24 movie. Like the entire The Ring tape is just an A24. You should fucking, okay, so that's the LCB tweet. Get the full Ring thing and then just put A24 like intro reel before it. And post it, be like coming to theaters, whatever, with like, I don't know, Calibri font.
That's a good idea. Actually, I will edit that after. I like the idea that like some hipster from the fucking Lower East Side watches it. Lower East, is that even, I don't even know if I said that right. Whatever, fucking who cares? He watches this, never seen it. He's like, wow, that was very trendy.
Yeah, he's that gonna video. Retweet it and I be like, that, damn, yeah, this looks hype. Put Robert Eggers' name at the end of it too.
I think you're spot on. I think that's the biggest horror from this movie is that it's not an easy thing to capture, right? Like it's, you know, any good horror movie you think is supposed to scare you is going to have you thinking about that thing in real life after the movie. And what this movie, obviously because of a movie that was invented before it, and that movie, I had not seen the original and shame on me. I'm sure it does the same exact thing. It gives you the ability to be scared of something for real because it's showing you the thing that is the danger, and the way it's presented in the movie is being presented to you in that same way. It's right. It's that weird like feeling you get. You're like, well, fuck, I'm watching it too now, huh? Like I'm seeing what's about to kill her or kill other people. And that's an incredibly unique thing to that movie. And there might be other examples very similar, but I think you're right. Like if there's one thing to pull from the movie as to why it's holds up and it's like horror, and will forever hold up, is because it shows you kind of, it has that unique ability to show you that thing, and you consume it as in like that might fucking kill me too. If you're really scared by it, it's going to creep you out for a little bit.
So I give The Ring a 65. So let me just put in context, like when I saw The Ring, I was 18. When I saw The Ring, I specifically remember going to see The Ring, in a movie theater. And, you know, I remember being very creeped out, and I remember everyone in the audience being very creeped out. But at the time, you know, and they're horror, like obviously they're going to be horror fans at the time who are well-versed in the genre. But for someone who's just kind of a very average consumer of media when I was 18 at the time, it kind of felt fresh and it felt new, because it was, you know, my knowledge in light dabbling in the horror genre was pretty much on like the creature and monster and slasher side of things, whereas this one tilted more towards paranormal, supernatural, curses, and the undead. And I think that even though the movie was fine, it was scary, and when I rewatched it was fine. I do think it's a little sloppy, and I do think it's very 2002 stylized, and it's still very enjoyable, but I think this is probably one of the most impactful releases of that decade, because it shifted, I think, the consumer preference for what they want out of a horror movie into, you know, us getting The Grudge a few years later. And then I think that leading in, and by the way, both this and Blair Witch Project, so not this on its own, like, you know, those couple of years where this was happening, I think fed in together, but then it moved towards more of like the paranormal activities. And I think the horror movies that were really trying to dig down deep into the occult and to things that weren't just, you know, even though Halloween's being remade, things weren't like what, you know, traditional American movies would have been at the time. I don't think you like, even though like, I don't love it when I watch it. And there are some parts of it that I think, you know, are pretty sloppy, like I said. I do think it had an oversized impact on people who maybe were like 18 or myself, or even like 13 or 12, like Jeff, and that first came out, and you're renting it from Blockbuster or whatever, Redbox, without telling your parents what you're watching. But that kind of shifted the collective taste to things that were more oriented towards, like Halloween H2O and Freddy Goes to the Moon and all that shit that was coming out in the late 90s, to more of a broad interest in the supernatural and the occult and kind of what we get today. The things I thought they did very well, obviously, I think I still love the Samara character, or just the apparition, or whatever you want to call her, because that rebooted, you talk about something that like Damien from The Omen pioneered, that rebooted the interest in the overuse of creepy ass children being used in movies, which is still being done to this day, because it seems like every other horror movie you get is, the background is like you're hearing like a violin being played out of tune, and it's ring around the rosy. Mm-hmm. And that just does it. That makes for a good trailer. So those are my thoughts on it. Like, there's a lot to unpack with The Ring, but I think it's more so based around like what came after it and what it paved the road for, more so than the movie itself, because when you watch it, it really isn't a phenomenal movie. It just came about at the right time.
It did. It came at a perfect time. It spawned some bad fucking sequels, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Spawned some really brutal sequels. The Ring 2 and Rings, which were, the Rings came out. Rings missed our podcast by like a few months.
I like Rings. I like Rings. I like the concept of more than one ring. Like, what's worse than a videotape that can kill you in 7 days when you watch it? What about multiple of them?
Yeah. What
was the movie? What was the movie we saw with the curse?
Curse of La Llorona.
Yeah, what was that? Did they watch something there? Like, wasn't it like a video or something she broadcasted to everyone to curse them just so she wouldn't die next or whatever? Fuck,
I just absolutely don't remember.
Yeah.
wait, what is it exactly? Say it again.
The Curse of La Llorona.
No. Trill's explanation for Curse of La Llorona. My Sharona?
Well, remember it.
My Jabrona.
Jabroni. Here's my cheat meal, Jabroni.
God. Yeah, 20 pizzas this time. Did you see his last one, Trill?
He should just start saying, like, here's my cheat meal. I'm going to poop big tomorrow.
Why does he sound like Obama all of a sudden?
I don't know. Just talking about that. This is me trying to do a very masculine voice. I'm sorry. But the movie we watched, that it was like she made everyone watch a video so she wouldn't die next. It was like the last person to watch a video died.
Oh, this Truth or Dare. It was like that.
Yes, Truth or Dare. I'm sorry. I think that general idea of like, part of the thing that The Ring was onto that maybe people didn't really catch on to yet was this shift in media, and certainly this predated the social media age by about like 4 years at least, just until the infancy of Facebook and all that and MySpace. But I think like just the concept of watching a piece of media and being cursed by that, that's the way a lot of people feel nowadays, right? Just kind of like this anxiety that lords over us due to like the amount of information, the amount of content that is out there. And now it's not as bad as getting, deaded after 7 days after watching a video. But I certainly think like there was something there in terms of people being at least being receptive to like technology being used, even though it was a tape, technology being used in this way that was, it wasn't like a curse being read out of a book. It was a fucking video. I thought that was the thing that like stood out to me, where it was ahead of its time a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
An available medium.
Unless you said it, I didn't now years later. Like, do you think if you watched it fresh for the first time now, you would have found it quite as scary or off? Like, kind of threw you off kilter. I don't know what the fucking phrase is, but
I don't know. You know, I didn't find the movie. So this is one of those things, like, even when I watched it, I didn't find the movie itself particularly scary, but it's more so like the rabbit hole of ramifications and thought experiments you go about in your head after watching.
Like spine chilling almost when you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, it's almost just like, you know, anything that gets me to kind of think about the supernatural and another force, or like another force on a different plane of existence. And, you know, I go into a head spiral about the, you know, infinite possibilities in the universe for maybe something like that to exist and us to not be aware of it, or at the same time that to not exist and for us to not be aware of it. That's creepy, right? Like it's the thought of the unknown. And this is one of those movies, I think, that, like, you know, certainly when you're 36, it's not that thought provoking, but when you see it, when you're like half of 36, which is fuck, like that's how old I was when I saw this movie, an entire lifetime ago. It was one of those things that kind of like got you to think about that before you knew you were really like pondering those big questions. That makes sense. So no, I don't find it creepy in the sense that like I'm creeped out when I'm watching it. I think like the horse scene obviously is fucking, I mean, that's one of the more terrifying things, but it's like you said, it's almost like rewatching it. This has been diluted by its own oversized presence on pop culture and going back into the scary movie reference to where, like, you know, having Samara pop out of well and do Opa Gangnam Style, like that's scary movie 7. It's like that just kind of like this Samara, not that
Opa Gangnam. Oh my god!
I absolutely would have done that.
Mm-hmm. Pop sound does the Fustal shuffle.
Oh my god!
Pop sound is it's a dancing alien. The dancing silver alien. I think the big thing to take away is just the fact that, like, this is one of the most influential horror movies, I think, of the 2000s for a reason. And, like, it really did. It's kind of funny. And I think it's almost in that same sense that, like, it is like a culturally defining movie of a decade. And for better or worse, like, I do think that that is it's a very difficult thing to capture, and the ability of this movie to kind of influence everybody into feeling that same dread about this tape. There's something to be said for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what, you know, 'cause like Paranormal Activity, I would put out there in the same level of The Ring. Even though I think in terms of my lifetime or like my adult lifetime, it would be Saw, Paranormal Activity, The Ring, The Blair Witch Project, and maybe The Conjuring, in terms of them being like kind of the most impactful horror movies, just in terms of the cross section of like widespread interest and also being good. What do you think about Samara just doing the Sai Opa hands crossed?
I try riding. To think how we could do that. I try to.
Somebody out there want to make it?
Yeah, dude. I'm sure you can pay like an actor to do like pay it.
Just so you have the hands crossed. Oh.
Are you a child actor that wants to make some? Oh, we could actually. I wonder if.
Well, let me be clear. They did a fucking great job with the Ring parody in Scary Movie 3. That is a very funny movie. That whole, again, we talked about it.
Just go onto your cam girl websites. Just be like, hey, $75 if you dress up like Samara and do Opa Gangnam Style.
Samara doing the
anything right now.
Doing the Fortnite default dance.
Ruined my night. Well. Yeah. Doing that.
Yeah. Sure, did the arms fold for those listening?
Let's jump on to something maybe I didn't like. Then I'll go back to things I did like. So I want to talk about like the faces too, the faces they make. Noah, right? Kind of the side, yeah. The ex-boyfriend character. Probably I would say the worst part of the movie for me.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't. I definitely would agree with that. I think the pecking order of the good acting in this is definitely Naomi Watts. I would say Brian Cox is there too, because the scene where he kills himself is also fucking bizarre and weird. Like I remember the first time I watched it, I didn't understand the device he had. Like even now, I was like, I don't really know exactly. It was something, a horse bridle or something. I don't know. But I think his scene is really good. But the boyfriend just stinks. He's like a C-list horror actor that got into this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Noah Clay. That's a very generic name.
Noah Clay.
I mean, I thought the acting was fine.
No relation to Cassius.
Amber Tamblyn was in it as well, just in terms of the big names. Yep. And then Adam Brody.
Adam Brody is a very small side role in this movie.
Yeah, very, very small. But it was like, hey, that's Adam Brody before Adam Brody pops off.
Well, let's talk about the good. Let's go back to the good then. Is I think in terms of like scary looking things, I think the horror faces are great, right?
Yeah.
Like, yes. Yes.
I think like the death face is incredibly well done. It's like the perfect blend of. It's fucked up. I think it's the best way to put it.
It's like an undead sort of look, right? Like a Indiana Jones seeing the Ark of the Covenant sort of thing, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I wish I could do that on command. By the way, like, what a great party trick! Just make your face melt off.
just want to see some crazy.
Like you're seeing the Ark of the Covenant.
Just continuously melt and unmelt your face at a party.
What if instead of like seeing the Ark of the Covenant, like you did that every time you saw Jessica Rabbit's boobs?
Oh.
No, instead of your tongue rolling out like a red carpet,
your face melts off like a popsicle in a hot fan.
Just fucking shreds apart like the Nazis in Indiana Jones. Just fucking, oh my god. Sorry, I didn't bring my piano key teeth today, so face melting is gonna have to do for you.
Gore Verbinski is another interesting one worth discussing. His filmography is very Johnny Depp.
Gore Verbinski is a very I'm from not France. The U.S. not the U.S. name, but he's from Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
His name to me shouts of like some Serbian guy that somehow became a French citizen. I can't explain it, but to me that's just what immediately comes to mind.
So he did Mouse Hunt.
Yes.
That was his first role with the Nathan Lane and Lee Evans.
Imagine Nathan Lane in fucking The Ring. My God, Samara, baby. I don't know why he sounds like a...
He sounds like... I don't know why he sounds like...
Simone voice.
He just Nathan Lane Simone is hard. It's a hard impression.
He sounds like you just sounded like John Mulaney doing a bad Nathan Lane.
Oh my God! Yeah, I'm Nathan Lane, and I'm trying to do a Timon impression. It's crazy. My parents were lawyers in Minnesota.
Did you guys know that Richard Gere was in the sequel to Mouse Hunt?
I think it's the opposite.
That was well.
Mouse Hunt 2 was in him.
Allegedly. According to Weekly World News, circa 1993.
It's like a street bodybuilding forum I visit very frequently.
Yeah, that's my favorite segment of the podcast when we do urban legends from the early 90s. eventually, we'll get to the Marilyn Manson removing his ribs thing, but we're not
there. Not yet.
Richard,
just like that hamster. What a ridiculous rumor that was.
Oh boy. My uncle was a neurosurgeon at Cedars-Sinai and they said Richard Gere came in. The hamster went to his brain.
It buried his way out. They had to smoke him out.
Well, so Gore Verbinski was an executive producer in The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Oh!
Yes. The Walter Mitty. He is many things, but he is not secret.
That's going to be a good movie when it comes out.
When it eventually comes out.
Yeah, we haven't done one of those in a while. You know what? I might do it tonight.
And the only thing I remember about Walter Mitty was watching the trailers and like looking, having Kristen Wiig looking forlorn in them.
Yes, yes, yes. Because this is like, I remember watching that movie, or not watching the movie, watching the trailer at least, and thinking like, Kristen Wiig, isn't she funny? Like, why does she look so sad?
Here's the thing about Walter Mitty. Kind of a loser.
Yeah, that was part of his problem.
Most of his characters were, I would say. Most of Ben Stiller characters were losers from 2000 to 2010 and beyond.
Walter's shitty. Use that one again.
I had a fake tease for the Walter Mitty trailer during Game of Thrones. I'm gonna edit it.
It's during Sunday Night Football Day.
For Monday Night Football. I'm gonna do it tomorrow.
For Monday Night
Football.
Okay.
So during Monday Night Football, get your first look at Walter Ben Stiller's new project, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. One of my favorite tweets to do.
It's a Secret Life of Walter Mitty. It's just called Mitty's.
That's a stylized name.
Big old Mitty's. I love to kiss Mitty's.
Oh no.
Shout out to Mitch T.
Yes, Trubisky didn't play today. Anything else on this movie? The ring is impactful. I think is a good way to is a great way to put it. But again, I just hard time separating it from Scary Movie 3.
Yeah, it's just the ring,
it was so well done, which that just shows you how well done Scary Movie 3 was for parody reasons.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, the ring. I just it's fine. The movie's fine. But I'm forever fascinated with talking about these otherwise seemingly insignificant things that came out during the salad days of my life, so I can go down the nostalgia wormhole. I told you I remember I went to this movie with my best friend John and our friend I forget her name, but I had just gotten this Sony Ericsson phone that day, the cell phone.
Ugh.
And it was like one of the first cell phones with a color screen. Huh. I'll send you guys a picture because it's a funny looking phone. But I remember feeling like I just had the latest tech in my pocket back in 2002. had Bluetooth on it. Sick.
Some cool tech.
Cool tech.
Audience gave it an 83. So that comes out to 77 plus 80 plus 65 plus 83 divided by 4 is a 76.25. Yeah, Hubie Halloween. I don't know. That's our next movie. I don't know when we're gonna. I guess it says the 7th, October 7th. That'd be Wednesday. So we'll figure out a way to watch it Wednesday. Let's do a rankings related to this movie. Things that you would not want to see flying on out of your TV. Would you not want to see out of the old television set? Troy, you can go first, then me, then Ken, Jack. Then, actually, it's a draft.
Okay. Yeah.
So we'll have to do the randomizer. It's a draft. We get the old randomizer. Random.org.
That's the phone, Ken, Jack. Thank you.
I found it. It's the Sony Ericsson T68.
Oh, God. Trill, Ken, yes. Jack, Jeff, audience, randomize. Draft order is Jeff, audience, Ken, Jack, Trill. I don't think order is going to matter much tonight.
No,
we should be good.
Yeah. All right. So Jeff, audience, Ken, Jack, Trill is the draft order. Worst people to crawl out of your TV. If you want to do things, you can do things as well. But worst people to crawl out of your TV. My first one. I'm going to go with the old guy from Six Flags.
Oh yeah.
Starts dancing.
Dun, 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 dun. If he just started doing that maybe. And then danced his way out of your TV, I mean, you would call, but you'd probably call 911 immediately.
That's got to be the next Jordan Peele edit of like a song. His next movie is just a Vanga Boys song, but like stylized into horror somehow.
Like if like Guy Fieri was like, we're rolling out, and he jumped out of your TV, you'd go over and you'd, you know, shake his hand, like, Guy, what's going on? Big, like, if old guy from Six Flags hops out of your TV, you might punch him. That might be the first instinct. You're like, what the fuck is this?
Want to go to Six Flags?
Yeah, more flag, more fun. I'll
suck you off, Jeff.
Oh. Take my dentures out.
Oh, no. You made it worse.
Give me the old.
Oh no!
Hey, this looks like a this here looks like a Coke can. You know, you can get a Six Flags for free on this.
What were you about to say? Because you froze. You self censored yourself. What did you say? You said this. You're about to say something.
I know. I was gonna say the more flags, more fun. Like, who came up with that? It's like we got six fucking flags here.
We open up a new amusement park called Seven Flags.
Yeah, but it's not like there's a competitor called.
Oh my god!
Five Flags. I'm assuming it's just
makes sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Like that slogan would make sense if the closest competitors could not get to Six Flags.
Audience, they're up first. For the sake of the graphic, I want you to put what I tell you this is, okay?
Okay.
And then I want you to blur it out. It's Netflix lead political character. That's not what they voted, but that's what I want the graphic to say. I wanted to say Netflix lead political character.
House of Fards.
I see you have boiled peanuts over there. You know, Freddie gives me those every day while I'm in the White House.
Is that a Game Boy Micro?
Dude, they talk about so many fucking video games in that show. And I just got to another scene where he's playing a video game with Will Conway, played by Joel Kinnaman. He's like, what is that game?
He's bad at every video game. Like he clearly also doesn't know how to play.
The fucking stigma of video games in that show. It's like, yeah. I hear you play video games, Mr. President. Yeah, it's quite a – I feel embarrassed. Like, what? Like, what – the people create – like, David Fincher and company. I don't know if Fincher was still on at this point. Like, they are like, embarrassed for people who play video games. Mm-hmm. Like, they make it seem like the president is – like, it's like a weird –
You play games? Oh, I directed the game. Bitch.
Ken Jack, your pick, number one. Worst people to crawl out of a TV.
Is going to be any of the antagonists from Courage the Cowardly Dog, but particularly the Return the Slab guy. The Return the Slab guy from Courage the Cowardly Dog was horrifying. He was a very, very close. Like, he's 1A. 1B is Fred. Fred was also horrifying in that show. But definitely 1A is Return the Slab. Just the guy sitting out there going, Return the Slab. Encouraged, not making sense. Just saying, oh man, that show was horrifying to watch as a child.
I couldn't watch Courage the Cowardly Dog for a bit because my teacher got mad and told parents that kids were watching the show and repeating the like things from the show, but she really meant Two Stupid Dogs, another show. And so I told the parents, like, stop watching the Courage.
Whatever. Very different dog show.
Two picks in a row. You're picking round one and two.
All right. I think I'm going to pick Ellen for my number one pick.
You don't intern anymore. Why does it matter?
I don't have much to say to Ellen right now. I feel my trust has been betrayed. I feel like the illusion on her television show has been shattered. So she came through my television screen after watching her. I wouldn't want that. I don't have much to say to her.
Ellen walks out of your TV with the damn Daniel kid.
Ugh. He was the Funko exclusive they released.
I do want to go back and watch that Dakota Johnson clip where like it was extremely awkward.
Yeah, you remember that? Where they talked about the party invite or whatever.
Yeah, Dakota Johnson kind of let her fall into her own trap.
Yep.
All right, my second pick is University of Arizona head coach Sean Miller.
He's so sweaty.
I wouldn't want that. I'm watching a tournament game, probably not a tournament game with the University of Arizona in a while, but watching Arizona head coach Sean Miller, he's sweating through his shirt, looking like he's wearing a piece of cling wrap. He's so sweaty and see-through. I wouldn't want him to pop through my TV screen.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not. That's a great pick.
Just a disgustingly sweaty human being he is. Unbelievably sweaty. That's a good pick. Ken Jack, round two pick.
I'm going to pick the creatures from King Kong, the Peter Jackson one. Like those fucking giant bugs that attack them in that one part. The giant eats Andy Serkis's face. And also, even if you want to count it, like Kong Skull Island, the giant spider things that kill everything, like all the creatures on that island, obviously they're supposed to be scary, but the way that they portray them in the or show them in the movies, they're horrifying to me.
What if Jack Black walked out with them?
Oh my god, poor Jack Black.
suckered into that one. That it's weird that for that movie, considering it's not, I would say, that good of a movie, it left a huge impression huge impression on me.
You do reference it every now and then. That is true. That is true.
Can I explain it?
Audience pick. You have to do the same thing again. There were two very clear number one picks. This one is going to be Large Pants Subway Guy. Audience has two good. Audience crushed it.
No,
that's not what they put. But for the sake of the, I'm like, how do we make the graphic work where people are like, what the fuck is this? So we're going to go Large Pants Subway Guy.
Indiana legend. Who's your legend, Jared Fogle?
Yeah, I'll do that. Who's your alum, Subway spokesperson?
All right, I have back-to-back picks here. I'm going to go with Paula Deen. I would not want Paula Deen to walk out of my TV. There's a lot of – first off, I can't pick the Cake Boss 2 weeks in a row because I would for sure pick Buddy Velastro here. But Paula Deen, I just don't like Paula Deen's energy. Not about that Paula Deen life. One of the least appealing Food Network. If the Barefoot Contessa, Ina Garten, ooh, she could walk out of the TV any day. And she can bring Jeffrey, too. Absolutely.
Scott Cotton comes out. Hey, I noticed you didn't salt your pasta water, asshole.
Yeah. There's a star of the dish. You didn't make the – it's always like the shitty – it's like you didn't make the fucking the chocolate-covered seaweed gummy bears the star of the
day. He tries to sound so cool, Scott Continent. He tries to make himself seem so suave. It's like, shut the fuck up, Scott Continent. It's a dumb name.
And number three, I don't like people who poop their pants. Al Roker, number three.
He gets caught halfway. Yeah. Oh, sorry here, step bro. I'm stuck getting through the TV. You got to help me get out.
Yeah, Al Roker, my third-round pick. Audience, third-round pick for them. Joel Osteen.
That's a good one. I like
the Brosteen.
The Brosteen.
The Vikings were in Houston today. We were watching the games earlier at work. PFT, Kirk Cousins had a piece like, Kirk Cousins fired up after hanging out with Joel Osteen all week. Someone's was like, are they friends? He's like, I assume they're friends. You just have to figure they know each other. Ken Jack, next pick.
I'm going to go with Bib Fortuna, Jabba's advisor from his palace. Besides him being a scheming person, he has these sharp, nasty fingernails. He has these sharp, nasty teeth. He has these disgusting eyes. And he's so slimy and wet. Like, his whole body is just covered in this layer of, like I don't even want to explain the consistency, this viscous liquid covering him nonstop. He's wet and gross, and he looks like he smells like shit. So I'm picking Bib Fortuna, that nasty ass bitch.
Yeah, he's really disgusting, and like I feel like if he walked over things, he would just make your room slimy. Like it'd just be just like dripping off him. He's just gross.
Like a slug.
Great creature work. True. Back to back pick, round three and four.
Okay, so round three, I'm gonna take Dren from the movie Splice.
Oh, it took me a second to put that together.
Yeah. They do it. It's a terrifying character. It's effective character design, but it's so gross. And then four is the original Sonic the Hedgehog movie design.
Yeah.
No, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
Terrifying. Terrifying looking character. Who was James Marsden? Would he walk out with him?
I'm not hanging out. No,
you got to hang out with James Marsden.
I want the original Sonic, and I take the Sonic they replaced him with. That little Sonic was kind of cute, but the original one, cute, not cute.
Ken Jack, round four,
a monster, some would say. I will go with from the Hellraiser series, Chatterer. So Chatterer is one
who, like, Hellraiser himself is, he's pretty scary, but, like, whatever. I'm not that scared by him anymore. But Chatterer, like, he doesn't have eyes. It's just, like, he's just covered with flesh, and then he has, like, a mouth, but, like, his lips have been, like, flayed off. Like, he's just disgusting to look at. And, like, during the movie, if I remember correctly, like, he, like, chatters his teeth. Like, that's, I guess, when the name comes from. And, like, you hear his teeth clacking together. Ooh, everything about that just gives me the heebie-jeebies. That's one of my least favorite out of, like, there was all those Hellraiser characters that would show up in the movie, but that one was the worst, Chatterer.
Yeah, I feel like Chatterer and a lot of the other characters, they don't get enough spotlight.
Mm-hmm. Like the side quest Hellraiser guys. Those movies are fucked up, man. Those are gross. Those practical effects that they used in those, oh.
Yeah, because Hellraiser obviously is the star of the show. But yeah, they're fucked up. And especially like the remakes of those, they're going to be horrid, which mm-hmm. will be a good thing. My pick, audience's pick. Audience is the next pick. They went with Skip Bayless.
Okay. No, I wouldn't mind that. Take him to task about Baker.
He's not a big Baker hater. That's Cowherd.
Oh, true. That is more Cowherd. That's right.
They're still kind of the same thing, though.
They are. Is Skip the one with the knee high microwave in his kitchen island?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Ask him about that at least.
Yeah, I would chat him up on that for a while.
That was a wild one. That picture's insane.
Skip, I don't love, but you know what? It's okay because at this point they already got Netflix lead political character and large pants subway guy. So do you even care 31. At this point?
Yeah, 31.
Skip Ellis walks out. My back to back picks to end it here. I have old guy from Six Flags. I have Paula Deen. I have Al Roker. I'm going to go. This combination of laughs would be the worst combination ever. Janice from Friends and then Jimmy Fallon. Just like, so you get like
the worst out of those two.
Yeah, the annoying laugh and then you get the really fake laugh.
Ugh. It should be someone that just is like able to, instead of Janice, somebody that is able to like just utter jokes off nonstop. Like it just will not stop talking. Just like an extreme talker that just keeps making Jimmy Fallon laugh. Like if they were to both come out at the same time. But I guess in this particular scenario, we didn't say they're all coming out at once. So.
Him just doing his Barry Gibb singing the ABCs.
Fucking. It's so frustrating.
Audience. Last pick for them. I don't know if it's because college football is back. They want Lee Corso.
Oh, leave Lee alone.
What did Lee do to anyone? I don't understand. What are they hating on Lee Corso?
He's
lost his fastball, but he's also just earned his he earned the ability to just
he's tenured.
Yeah, he's tenured. And look, I mean, I like Lee Corso a lot. Just because he's been on forever and he's an institution. Yeah. It's not the same as he used to be, but, he's still comforting. It's like there's a log in a fireplace.
He is. I like that. He spite picked Georgia this weekend. I didn't know that Kirk Herbstreit said he spite picked Georgia because Auburn won't let him put on the Aubie mascot head.
Really?
Yeah. And so like, he's like, he said that like under his breath, kind of. But Kirk's like, he has it out for Auburn because they won't let him put on the Aubie head. And I didn't know that, and I respect the hell out of the refusal to pick Auburn.
Pure spite. I love that. We are very spiteful people. So
yeah.
I think that's awesome.
I think when he does pick Auburn, he puts on like the old like Leatherheads helmet. He puts on the John Krasinski helmet. Yeah,
I was about to say the Leatherheads. Oh yeah.
Ken Jack, last pick.
I was considering Fat Bastard just because he's just disgusting and fat and smelly and the poop was nasty looking. But I'll go with do we clarify it has to be from movies or TV?
Oh, I don't care.
Let's go. I'm going to go then with the Berserker from Gears of War 1 because that game for me, when that came out, I played that campaign so many times. And the scene where you have to escape the Berserker, it was so horrifying. And that thing is so scary. And personally, I don't have I forget what the name of the weapon was in Gears. Joe, what was the one where like the sunlight comes in and blows something? Was it Hammer of Dawn? Was that it?
Oh, I don't remember. I'm not a big Gears guy.
Okay, so I think it was Hammer of Dawn. But like, I don't have Hammer of Dawn. I can't fight off a Berserker. That thing's horrifying. But they got, I think, kind of nerfed in the later games. So kind of a bummer. They were scary.
True. Last pick for you.
I'm going to take Shrek Wazowski.
That's the combo of Shrek and Mike Wazowski.
Yeah, that's Shrek's entire head as Mike Wazowski's body with the Michael Wazowski Perfect. Legs.
You're watching like a meme channel?
Yeah, or I'm just looking at memes on my TV. The other one was Smooth Yoda, but I think I could get along well with Smooth Yoda.
Yeah.
You and Smooth Yoda would definitely have a good rapport.
I'd like to feel Smooth Yoda's leather. Skin, I mean.
I figured you meant skin. Yes.
Yeah, I'd ask him for some skin to make some leather.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
I'm an Ed Gein on him.
It's so dark.
Yeah, but he's Ed Gein. He's Smooth Yoda. It's like the Giving Tree.
We're gonna review Hubie Halloween. Later on in the week, assuming that it's out at like a reasonable time on Wednesday, we'll audible if it doesn't make any sense, and we'll move it to Sunday. But I assume that we're going to review Hubie Halloween on Wednesday. Anything else?
No, let's do it.
All right.
That's no, it I don't for, think so.
For Ken, Jack, and Tro, I'm Jeff Little. Talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office.